Okay, good morning, good night of Shabbos. Welcome back to the weekly Sfas Emes Shir here at Adas Torah. The Shir today has a very special sponsorship. The Shir is sponsored by my Chavrusa, my Sfas Emes Chavrusa, we've spoken about in the past, Reb Elisha Graf. It's sponsored in honor of his grandfather, Reb Ari Shlomo ben Reb Moshe Yitzhak Rosenbaum. His grandfather, his Edo, was a real Gera Chassid, who interacted with the Imre Emes. And lived his life as a Gera Chassid, even when he had to leave. The yard site is tonight and tomorrow. So the learning that we do today is Le'ili Nishmaso. And truthfully, in some ways, the learning we do all the time, every week, is Le'ili Nishmaso, because so much of what I've learned in Sfas Emes has been together with and from Elisha, his grandson, and he spends so much time learning and sharing Sfas Emes with his grandfather that there's a connection between our Shir and him every week. The learning this month in general is in the Kol is sponsored again by 5minutesoftorah.com, and the week of learning is sponsored by the Kluger family, Lilian Eshmas, Barry Kluger, Max Kluger, and Rabbi Schoenfeld, whose yard sites are all in the range of the near vicinity of the days. So we'll start this week with source number one, the Sfas Emes, in Parshas Vayechi, our Parsha, Shnas Tuf Resh Lamed Aleph. I think at this point we're safe to assume it's January in every year, but I'm not 100% sure, but we'll go with it. So that would be 1871. So in 1871, the Sfas Emes said the following, the Vartori, you'll see he said it many times over many years, but he started with the following thought. Uchmedum Ali, he says he seems to remember that his grandfather, Chiddush HaRim, told him, B'Shem, the Rebbe Rabbonim of Pshischa, the following kasha, the following question: Shehiksha lama ratza legalos esakets. Why did Yaakov? We know that we have a medrash that Rashi brings for us that Yaakov Avinu had wanted to disclose the timing of the coming of days, of the end of time of Mashiach, of the end of time as we know it, I should say, the time of Mashiach. He wanted to disclose, to reveal that to his children. Bikesh Yaakov legalos esakets. Where we know that from is an interesting question. The pasuk says that he wanted to tell them my yikra, what's going to happen, ba'achras hayamim, what's going to happen at the end of days. So achras hayamim sounds like it's a code word for Mashiach, but that's not entirely clear. The truth is, the word achras hayamim may be referring to the end of the Galus Mitzrayim. That's what the Nitziv assumes. Others assume that achras hayamim means Mashiach, but the Nitziv assumes, and others as well, it's a machlokes in the Rishonim even, assume that achras hayamim really means the end of the Galus Mitzrayim. Either way, everyone agrees, Chazal say, that Bikesh Yaakov Legalos Esakets, meaning Mashiach itself also, that might have come from a different word in the Pasuk. The Nitziv gives us a hint that maybe it comes from the word Agida, I will tell you, I'll tell you a secret, the secret being the end of days, meaning Mashiach. Either way, we see that in the Pasuk, and the Medrash tells us, Bikesh Yaakov Legalos Esakets. So the Rebbe Rabbanim asks, I don't understand, what's the pshat? Why was he trying to be Megala Kates? Why was he trying to disclose, to tell us when Mashiach would come? Why was that important fact to tell us? So if you want to understand this question, it's a very fascinating question, especially when you understand it, look in source number one, the second paragraph, the Sfas Emes in Vayechi Shnas Tuf Resh Lamed Hey, 1875, there, the Sfas Emes spells out that the Rabbanim's question that he's reiterating here was actually twofold, and I think you'll be probably a little surprised by one of the parts of it, one of the folds. Im HaPerish, right, Bikesh Yiglagaz Zakeitz, Venisim Menu, he was held back from doing so. Im HaPerish Azman Bias Mashiach. If the pshat is that Yaakov Avinu is trying to disclose when the Mashiach will come, Lo Yadanu, I don't understand, Masod Amok Huzeh. What's the big secret? Anyone understand that question? It's a big secret. We don't know when Mashiach is coming, no? But the Rebbe Rabbanim, and the Sfas Emes is saying it here, was confused. What's such a big secret about revealing the Mashiach? I don't know, maybe his point is because we have so many Sfarim, the Zohar so many times, and other Sfarim since then, and other, you know, Mekubalim, who have tried to find him, and even Rishonim, even the Rambam, the Ramban, the Rav Sajigon most famously, have pointed to dates at which Mashiach is supposed to come, years in which Mashiach is supposed to come, so maybe that's what he means. What's the big sod? Everyone has calculations. I don't know, it's a big sod, because we know even Daniel tried to calculate, and the Gemara says Daniel got it wrong. He made a miscalculation. So it would have been a big sod to say it accurately, so I'm not sure what the kasha is. But the second point that the kasha relates to is the gamma nafkamina biyadizo. Who cares? Who cares when Mashiach is coming? We know Mashiach is coming. We know it's coming eventually. We know we have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout this lifetime. So what's the difference what the exact date is? It doesn't really change anything the way we're supposed to behave in this world. So if you go back to source number one on the top, V'tirates, the Rebbe Rabbanim answered, Shekeshenoda Kates, when you know when the Geula is coming, when you know Mashiach is coming, when you know when it's coming, HaGalus Benakel. Galus will be much simpler. Galus will be much easier. Ad Kanani Zocher says the Sfas Emes. That's all I remember the Rebbe Rabbanim saying about this idea. But then the Sfas Emes adds on his own. Venira. Canal, as we explained earlier, what's the point in understanding that there's when the Mashiach is coming, when it's arriving? That's knowing that there is an end to Galus. It shows us that this Galus that feels like it's endless, that feels like there is no end in sight, there is an end. There is an end, and it's even in sight. Because what it does is it reveals to you as follows. It says that yes, right now you're sitting in a Galus, right now you're suffering from an exile, right now you're going through a hard time of Hester Panim, where we can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu very clearly, where life is very, very fuzzy and blurry. That's the life we're living right now. But I know that it's not real. I know it's fake. I know it's a sham. I know the whole thing is fake. Because why? Because I know Mashiach is coming. I know when it's coming. I know the jig is going to be up at some point. I know this galus is going to dissipate into geula. It's going to be transferred right over into a geula. So this doesn't exist to me. Ki apnimius shu emes, the real inner ruchnius that exists, the kedusha that exists, HaKadosh Baruch Hu that exists in everything, ein lokates. It has no end. It's endless. It's limitless. Va'hester yesh lokates. The hester panim, galus, exile, that has a case, that has an end in sight. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kedusha, Pnimius, that has no end. So I know what exists and what doesn't exist. So if you tell me when the Geula is coming, you point to Mashiach for me, then I can live through the Galus and realize the Galus is fake, it doesn't really exist. The Ratza Shia Zeh Nigla, that's what Yaakov Avinu wanted to do. He wanted to reveal that to us, he wanted to make it clear to us that really the Galus doesn't exist, and really we're living in a time of Kedusha and Pnimius covered up by a Hester. Velohai Galus Klau. There wouldn't have been a galus at all. We would have been fine in Mitzrayim. We would have been fine for the rest of generations through galus because everything would have remained geula that was being obviously covered up by fake galus. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't let. V'nishar sasim, it remained hidden. Umikol makom alidei emunah shema'aminim zeh b'nei Yisrael. Even though it's true that Yaakov Avinu didn't give us the emes, he didn't point us to the date, he didn't show us when Mashiach is coming, he didn't uncover, he didn't dig up this secret and give it over to us, even so, we can still arrive at that truth. Through emunah, says the Sfas Emes. Through emunah she'ein shum koch, bilti Hashem yizbarech, rak kol zeh, rak hester. That the person believes wholeheartedly that he realizes in the Galus that everything that exists is really through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything that exists is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then a person can pull back that curtain and they can realize that everything they're living through really is Kedusha, is Pnimius, is Ruchnius. This is what we talk about so many weeks already in the Sfas Emes, right? A person realizes that everything is fake, everything is covering up, is being a sosim, is just being mastir, is just being matzniya, is just hiding what's truthfully at the core of what we're living through. That's how a person can live through a galus, even though Yaakov didn't give us the clue, but we can get there on our own through emunah. Yaakov wanted to give us this unambiguous, undebatable, clear proof. We didn't get that. We weren't zocha to that. We were zocha that he gave us the gift of emunah, that if we try our hardest to work on the avoda of what the Sfas Emes is constantly teaching us how to do, uncovering the Pnimius, uncovering the Kedusha within everything that exists in the world, then we'll have a realization of what the truth is. Then we can live through a galus. Then we can make it, realizing that we're really living in a time of Kedusha and Ruchnius as well, that's just covered up, and then the galus will quickly disappear for us and turn into a geula, even as we're living in it now. And that's what the Sfas Emes quotes you have in the second paragraph here in source number one. He quotes from the Zohar, that the Zohar says that we know that it was Nistam, that the Yaakov Avinu was not able to reveal, he wasn't able to be Megala the Ketz to us. But the Zohar tells us that he wasn't able to be Megala clearly, but he's able to be Megala B'der Chester. He's able to hint, he's able to be Merames to what when the Geula will come, how the Geula will come, what we have to do to bring the Geula, to bring Mashiach. And that, if a person has a head for this, I don't, but if a person would have a head for this and has the right svarim, sefer pnimius, sefer kabbalah, so they can look at the brachos of Yaakov Avinu, and there are hints, there are ramazim to the avodas that we're supposed to be engaged in order to bring that geula. But that's the point that Sfas Emes is making, that Yaakov didn't fail at giving us over that emunah, he just wasn't able to give it over to us as clear emes that would be undebatable and clear to everyone. Okay, but he gave us hints, he gives ramazim on how to accomplish the goal of bringing the geula. You have in source number two in Parshas Vayechi, again, Tafresh Lamed Beis, that's 1872. I might have said 1971 before accidentally, but I meant 1871 if I did. So this is 1872. So the Pesukim say, Simcha Elokim Ka'Ephraim Menashe, we famously bless our children with the bracha that they should be like Ephraim Menashe. V'kasha Kirak Kerubim V'Shimon. So all the Mepharshim ask this. The Ramban has this, other people have this. I'm sorry, I don't remember if the Ramban asked this question. He asked a different question. But the Mepharshim do ask this question. Why Ephraim Menashe? What's so special about Ephraim Menashe? Truth is, we see in the Psukim that Ephraim Menashe are treated special. How are they treated special? They're made Keruven and Shimon, Yuli. They're made like Reuven and Shimon, meaning that the Menashe and Ephraim were the next generation after the Shvatim, and yet Yaakov Avinu says they're going to be like the Shvatim. They're raised to the level of the previous generation of the Shvatim. The Shiftei Kav, they're like Reuben and Shimon. Okay, so they're like Reuben and Shimon. So then bless our children that they should be like Reuben and Shimon, or like all of the Shvatim, or like any other one or two of the brothers. Why Dafka, Ephraim, Menashe? They're just like all the other Shvatim. They're equal. That's the only bracha they got, that they're equal to everyone else. So the Sfas Emes has a very nice idea here. Ach, ki la'asher hayador sh'achar shvatim. We know they were the next generation. They weren't really fit. They weren't really born into the generation of the shvatim, of the shiftei ka, of all the other brothers. U'mikol makom nis'al yus b'chlalam. What did they accomplish? They accomplished that they were able to transcend their door. They were able to jump up a level, skip a rung on the ladder, and go up to the next generation above them, to the generation of the shiftei ka, lios b'chlalam, to be part of the shvatim. Vizeh al yideh ha-bracha kanal, as the Sfas Emes explained in other pieces here, that's through bracha, because what bracha means, the Sfas Emes explains many times in Parshas Vayechi, what bracha means is that a person connects to a shoresh, he connects to a root, he connects to an earlier point in history, and through that he's davak, he's clinging to what was earlier. So they were able to transcend levels, they were able to jump a level above because they had a bracha. They had a bracha they were nizbarich with, that they were able to be davak b'shoresh, afshim lamatim madrega, even though they were really the next generation, they could jump up and cling to the previous generation and the ruchnius and the kedusha of the previous generation and become part of it through that avoda of bracha. Uvaofen zeh yuchal lios nimshach bracha l'chol ish Yisrael me'avos ha-kedoshim, says the Sfas Emes, through this idea that Yisimcha l'kim ke'efraim ha-chanasha, we see that we're giving a bracha and we're charging future generations to do the same thing. Reuben and Shimon, obviously, they didn't have it easy, but on the level, they had it easier because they were part of the generation of the Shiftei Ka. Ephraim and Menashe had to connect back to their roots in order to get to that level. Okay, then they reached it, they achieved it, but they had to work pretty hard to do so. They had to connect to their Shoresh. Says the Sfas Emes, we tell our children Friday night, Yisimcha l'kim ke'efraim v'menashe. You think you're thousands of generations, you think you're thousands of years, you're so far removed from the previous Doros. How could you be like Ephraim and Menashe? How could you be like Avram Yitzchak and Yankiv? How could you be like the Avos? How could you be like Moshe Rabbeinu at Tzaddik? How is it possible to connect to previous Doros? Says the Sfas Emes, you could be like Ephraim and Menashe. That even though you're removed, even though you're a step removed, you're a generation later, even though really technically speaking you didn't have the zechus of being born into that generation, but a person can jump the rungs on the ladder. You can connect back to previous generations. Yisimcha Elokim, Kefraim, Chemnasha, L'chol Ish Yisrael, Me'avos HaGadoshim, Af Elev Dor, 1,000 generations later, Ki HaShoresh Mehem. Because you know what your root is. If you know what you're connected to, if you realize where you come from, if you realize the neshama that's in you, and the generations before you that made that neshama for you, if you realize the rich history, the rich tradition, the masorah that you're part of, then you can link up to it. Then you can be part of it. And that's as the Sfas Emes, Uvazeh Yesh Lomar Gamkein, this all the Mefarshim do ask, why does the Pasuk say Vayivarech es Yosef? The bracha wasn't really to Yosef, right? The bracha was really to the children, was to Ephraim and Menashe here. So why is it Vayivarech es Yosef? So the Sfas Emes says, Kevan shenis alu banav lios shvatim, because Yosef had banim, had children, who became shvatim, that raised Yosef's level, memela nisala hu Yoser. He became like the level of avos. Yosef has this interesting status, it's the topic for a different time, of being quasi-shevet, quasi-of. He's almost like one of the avos. He's not really one of the avos. But Yosef HaTzadik was a higher level in some ways. So here, he's raised up by the fact that his children raised up to the previous level. So through their ability to jump the levels, he was also raised up, and it's also by Yivarech as Yosef. I was just thinking about this yesterday. This is only loosely related, but it's just a point, I think, to relate to. So, I mean, there are many other ways that I could give over this message that we could talk about that we would understand more, but this is just interesting because I was thinking about it yesterday. You know, the Arizal had this whole, he has books on it, and also he spent a lot of, his life was very short. The Arizal died at 18 years old. He accomplished a lot in a very short time. But, am I wrong about 18 years old? 38? What was it? I said it wrong. What is it?
Maybe 38.
38, yeah, I think the 8 I was just confusing with. But he died, 18 would be, but he died before, I think the main thing that they like to say is, meaning, because the Kabbalah you're not supposed to learn until you're 40 years old. And he created like all of Kabbalah for everyone to know right before he was even 40 years old. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Yeah, 38 sounds more right. 18 is I think, incorrect. So anyways, he lived a very short life. Either way, he spent a lot of time, what we have remnants of, we have this concept of Gilgulim, of understanding, you know, Rabbi Akiva in the Gemara is really Gilgul of Yaakov Avinu, and each neshama is really a Gilgul, meaning it's cyclical. A neshama comes into the world in one body, that body passes away, and that same neshama comes into the world in some other body. It's a very hard concept to understand. It's not strictly from the Arizal. It's not strictly from his Torah. The Ramban talks about it in the Chumash. It's a real concept in the Yerushalayim. What to do with that concept, I have no idea. But it's an interesting concept that does exist, that a neshama comes back into the world in different ways, gilgulim, in different people's personalities and bodies. Okay, what's the point? Why Arizal wrote whole books trying to explain each of the people that are famous, each of the Tanaim, where their Shorish neshama was really from, like who their neshama really came from, that it was Nizgalgel until, you know, he talks about Korach, he talks about Yaakov Avinu, he talks about Rabbi Kiva, like I said, he talks about everyone, all the famous people, you know, where their neshamas come from. And I think that there are concepts in the same in Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Chassidus, where they try to pin later generations also what their Shorish neshama came from, what's a Gilgal of. Who cares? Like, why is that important? I think, again, this is not my area of expertise, it's not even my area of interest, honestly. But I think that if a person realizes that the avoda is to connect back, that's what the Sasem is telling us here. The avoda is to realize that this wasn't a Gilgal Neshama, but what Menashe and Ephraim accomplish is they connect themselves to a previous generation. And what you can accomplish 1,000 years later and 1,000 generations later is you too can connect to an earlier, you can link up on the chain to an earlier stage in Jewish history of tzidkus, of ruchnius, of kedusha. You can become closer to the avos, closer to the shvatim, and become a tzaddik like a previous generation. If a person realizes that there's a concept of the neshama going through these gilgulim, again, without understanding exactly what that means, but if a person realizes that Rabbi Akiva's neshama is really the same or smitzas related to the neshama of Yaakov Avinu, so a person realizes that thousands of years later they're connected all the way back to the previous generations. A person realizes on a level of pnimius and a level of nister that we can't fully understand that they're connected to previous doros. Not only that, they're part of previous doros, they're just sitting here in this world right now. But if a person realizes that their neshama has that connection, both in nister and also in more understandable ways, when they look back in the family chain and they realize they can connect and they can, you know, be ola le gedula, they can rise up and challenge themselves. So then a person realizes that their neshama goes all the way back, kefrai, mechum menashe. They could jump levels beyond their belief. They could become greater than they ever could have expected in the current generation. In source number 3, the Sfasem quotes a Medrash. The Medrash picks up on the fact that the Pasuk, Yaakov Avinu describes the Kaddish Baruch Hu as Ha'alokem Ha'roa Osi. Kaddish Baruch Hu guided me. The Medrash assumes Roa Osi, probably because Roa means shepherd, although the Ramban has other explanations of what the word Roa might mean here as well. Maybe Rea, like a friend. The Kaddish Baruch Hu was my friend. Very interesting concept. But he was Roa, meaning he guided me in Parnassa. And then it says, Hamal HaGoel Osi Mikol Ra, that also Kaddish Baruch Hu saved me, Yeshua Geula, from all tzaras. So the Medrash points out, Hikish Geula Parnasa, meaning he basically thanks Hashem, thank you for giving me a Parnasa, thank you for giving me Mizonos, thank you for feeding me, and also thank you for saving me from death, and saving me from being obliterated. So those two are connected, those two are the same. What do you mean? One's a Yeshua Mamish, like the ultimate Yeshua of saving me from death, or saving me from being obliterated off the face of the earth, and the other one's thanks for giving me food, thanks for giving me what to eat. What are those two connected? So the Medrash says, yeah, they are connected. Perish. When a person realizes that everything is from a Kaddish Baruch Hu in this world, so they realize, Ma Geula Plaim, just like Geula, just like Yeshua, just like redemption, the real redemption, is a Pella, it's a Nes, it's unbelievable, it's a miracle. So too your Parnasa, every time a person makes a penny, and every time a person has a meal, and every time a person has clothing to wear, it's a Yeshua, it's a Geula. That's what Yaakov Avinu was telling us. If you realize that everything in the world is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you realize the same way he redeems a nation from Mitzrayim, the same way he saves the Yaakov Avinu from death, the same way he does the ultimate Yeshuas, so that's how he puts food on our table, that's how he provides us with the Parnasa. It's the same koch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'chein kasav, nosin lechem l'chol basar, the pasuk that we say in Shabbos davening, nosin lechem l'chol basar, nosin, every single day in the present tense, nosin daika b'chol yom, he gives us the bread every single day. He's providing constantly. It's all really a nace. And the Sfasem is Tafresh Mem Tes, 1789. So the Sfasem is here, adds that in some ways, really, the Geula of Parnassa, the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu provides with the Parnassa, gives us the means to live in this world, is even a bigger nace than the ability to be Moshiach, to save us in the ultimate sense. Because to save us in the ultimate sense is a Kadosh Baruch Hu acting as God. He's stepping in and changing Teva. But the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so beyond Teva, so limitless, so impossible to understand, can't fit into this world, is Mitzamtzem himself and is relates to, his misyachis, to our daily living, the fact that he contracts himself, so to speak, and comes into our world and provides us with food, provides us with a parnasa, provides us with a family, the small day-to-day things, that's a bigger miracle. Because what does the Kaddish Baruch have to do with us? With our food on our table, with our parnasa, with our stocks, what does the Kaddish Baruch have to do with that? Nothing. But he's mitzamsim himself, he makes himself, so to speak, contracted to fit into this world and provide for us, that's even a bigger nace in some ways. And that, the Sfas HaEmes says, if you flip page to page number two, the end of that paragraph on top, Uve emes ze atmo inin smichas gula tefila. We have this concept of being so much gula tefila that when we daven, we want to end with Gal Yisrael, and then we start immediately, right afterwards, with the Yishmon Esrei. Gemar brachos. That's a din, we're supposed to do that. Why Geula L'Tfila? Why are those two supposed to be connected? So Sfas HaEmes says, that's the connection. Geula L'Parnasa. Parnasa doesn't only mean providing food and providing a parnasa, meaning a salary and a stipend. It means that it provides chachma, and he provides health, and he provides all the things we've done for in Shemona Esrei, every single thing, rain during the year. I think we could agree. We've had enough rain. I don't know. I don't think the weather people said. They said there's still a drought.
There's always
a
drought.
How's that possible?
Rain for 2 years, I tell you.
I don't know. This seems to me up there with the landing on the moon. I don't know if I believe the whole thing. So, anyways, we're thankful to Hashem for the rain. In truth, we're just making jokes. But everything that we ask for in Shemona Esrei is parnasa, is a Kaddish Baruch Hu providing for us. He's mefarnes us in all of these ways. So we have to be so mech geula tefila, Gal Yisrael, straight into Shemona Esrei. Why? Because it's the same geula, it's the same Yeshua, it's the same koach of Hashem to provide for us a geula of Gal Yisrael and a. Barech Hashanim and Mavarech Hashanim and the Atachanu Adon Das. It's all the same Yeshua and Geula. This, the Gemara in Pesachim has this idea in Kuf Yud Ches Amar Aleph. The Gemara says, "Kashim Mizon Osav Shel Adam Kekriyas Yamsuf." We don't know what this means. Nothing's hard for Kadosh Baruch Hu, but let's say the way we perceive it, it should be as difficult to provide a mezonos, to provide a parnasa for someone as kriyas yamsuf, as splitting a sea. As the pasuk says, the same pasuk we quoted from before, dechsev notzin lechem lechobasar kilam chasto, and then the immediate following or right in that vicinity is legozer yamsuf lechzarm kilam chasto. Right. So the notzin lechem lechobasar is on the same level, is equivalent with gozer yamsuf lechzarm, splitting the yamsuf for the Klal Yisrael to pass through. I saw in this years ago, and I couldn't find the exact quote, but I put for you part of the quote here from Nefesh Shimshon, Rav Shimshon Pinkus, in his commentary on Tillim, but I'm pretty sure he said even more than this, but he points out that every time a person opens his refrigerator and there's food in there, every time a person gets home and there's food on the table, every time a person wakes up in the morning and has clothing to put on, they should stop for a second and realize that if a Kaddish Baruch Hu had put him as a slave for 200 years in Mitzrayim, took him out and split the sea for him, he would be singing a shira of Az Yashir. And now, when he opens the fridge, and there's food in the fridge, and there's food on the table, and there's clothing to wear. So the Gemara is telling us that's also a Kriyas Yamsuf. That's also a Geula. That's also Yeshua. That's an incredible chesed and nace that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, that he came into our world and provided for us at that level. So a person should stop for a second and say a mini Shira. He says, when you open the fridge, you stop for a second and say, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for providing for me. Every time a person opens, it's a hard avodah to think about, because it's such a regular part of our life. But every time we open the fridge, that's a Kriyas Yamsuf. I thought, this is the part I couldn't find today, I thought that I saw Rav Pinkus, I'm pretty sure I saw Rav Pinkus, said, that's why we say Az Yashir every single day. Az Yashir Moshe, we sing the Shira of Kriyas Yamsuf. Why? Kriyas Yamsuf doesn't happen every day. So we're supposed to remember Yitzchias Mitzrayim, but Kriyas Yamsuf, every single day we have to sing the Shira and praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I thought that Rav Pinkus says somewhere, yes, because every day we do experience a Kriyas Yamsuf. We experience having a mezonos, a parnasa. If we wake up and we still have what to eat, and we wake up and we still have what to wear, and we still have all the parnasa Kadosh Baruch Hu provides for us, then we're experiencing Kriyas Yamsuf every single day. So we say Az Yashir, we sing to Kadosh Baruch Hu, noticing his hashgacha in our lives. Okay, we won't do 4 and 5, but they are worthwhile to look at, and they're both short, and they're easy to understand, so you should take a look at them, take the sheets home, share it with your family. But until then, we should be mechazik ourselves. Really, there's one underlying theme in all of the Sfas HaEmes from this week and many of the previous weeks, which is that there's a lot of Kedusha, a lot of Baruch Nes, and a lot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all the things that seem mundane. If we focus on that, then we'll first of all realize that the Geula is on the doorstep. We're on the doorstep of the Geula. We're right there. We just need to uncover all the schmutz that's on top of it. We'll find the Geula, the Ruchnis, the Pinimis inside. We'll also realize that if we dig to the Shoresh, dig to the core, that we'll see that we're connected to previous generations and we can be bigger and transcend the levels that we think we could reach. And we'll be noticing the Yeshua in the daily living that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. So we should keep digging. We should keep digging for the Shoresh. And everyone should enjoy a wonderful Shabbos.